you know, your thoughts, because here's the thing. I've seen number ones go down in that building. So the possibility is there. When you hear the term Memorial Gym magic, it has happened in the past. How big would that be, and how would you put that on a scale if Vanderbilt was able to pull that off tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, it would be enormous. I mean, people have brought up the, was it 11 years ago, I think it was, when UT was number one and came into Memorial and Vandy knocked them off. Well, Vandy was a ranked team that year. They were a good team that year. So it was an upset, but it was a mild upset. This would be last place in the SEC beating the number one team in the country upset. This would be a legitimate huge upset. It's going to be a great atmosphere, I think, because, it's going to be fairly split, I think, between the fans. I would expect it's probably going to be 60-40 one way or another. You know, I was asked by fans yesterday what I think it would be. I thought maybe 60-40 orange. But, you know, I was talking to Jay right off the air there, and, you know, he mentioned, well, the students will fill up the student section. I thought, well, you know, I hadn't thought about that. You get those in there already, that's about 10% of your crowd, and so maybe that swings at 60-40 back the other way. But whenever you have like a neutral site feel, that makes a great atmosphere, and I think that's more of what this will be, somewhere around a 50-50. And, you'll have the feel of Memorial, and you'll have the rivalry there. And I'm interested to see if these players buy into it, because – you know what, five of Vandy's nine players in the rotation have never played Tennessee. So they're going to be told this is a big deal, but they're not necessarily going to – they haven't experienced it before.
Well, when you think about that rotation, then that means those same individuals have never won an SEC game either, have they?
That's true, whether it's Tennessee or Mississippi State or anybody else. That's true, and until you get your first one, the first one seems really, really hard. Second one's usually easier, but they got to beat somebody, and this is not the one on the schedule that you would think they would beat. But you mentioned Memorial Magic before. I think that brings up a big flaw with this team, among a few flaws, is that the idea of Memorial Magic has usually been, around the idea of just shooting the lights out of that gym. Just, you know, the Vandy teams have always been really good shooting teams. And when you think of Memorial Magic, you think of, you can go a decade back and go Shane Foster, but you can go a thousand different people in Vandy's history. They're just going to knock down three-pointer after three-pointer. They're going to shoot the lights out. And that's what this team has not done. If this was a team that shot the three really well, you could say, hey, if they get hot in a given night, that could knock off a number one team. But we just haven't seen it yet, and the shooters that they brought in that you thought would be able to do that haven't really done it that much either.
Well, here's the thing. You've got such a unique situation, such a unique home court advantage compared to any other team out there, just the way this is set up. And unfortunately, this team and this coaching staff are not making the most of it.
No, it does look like it looks like they don't know what they want to do. Now, I don't know if that's coaching. I mean, obviously, some of that's coaching. You've got to put it on the coaches if the game plan is not being enacted. But even out on the floor, when you can tell, okay, I think they're trying to get the ball here, get the ball there, they're trying to set this up, and it just never happens. At point, Saban Lee looks like he can't quite, he'll get into the lane, but it doesn't really set up anything. Simi Chatu will get the ball in the high post, and you can kind of see something developing, but it never does, and he tries to go in isolation and beat somebody off the dribble, and that doesn't work. And they'll set up a shot for Matt Ryan, who should shoot 100% of the time that he's open, and all of a sudden he's – I don't know if his confidence is down or what, but he was shooting 28-footers early in the year. Now he's passing up on 23-footers, and you can't have a guy – they can shoot the ball like that, pass things up. There's just so many things that just seem out of sync with that offense, and they've got to figure all that out, and then also hope that Tennessee has an off night.
Well, I was actually trying to figure out, I know that Vanderbilt has knocked off number ones before in that building. And here's the thing. If you're talking to a team about those kind of possibilities, whether it was the last time Tennessee was ranked back in the last decade or back in the 80s, you know, these are the kind of things that the players need to know, because when you're trying to give them a goal that they need to accomplish, it's one thing to throw something out there that's never happened before, but when you can give them situations and dates and times where a Vanderbilt team has actually accomplished this in that building, then it makes it more realistic of a goal for them to achieve.
Yeah, and Joe Toy mentioned that, Vandy's senior guard forward. He mentioned that today in the little media availability we had just a little bit ago. He said, you know, he was fully aware of it. He's read up a little bit on that upset of UT. We asked Bryce Drew about it, and he said, we haven't addressed it much yet with the team, but he said, we are going to set a time aside, I believe he said tomorrow, to give them a little bit of a history lesson on that game. Just a little bit of a, you know, encouragement of this can happen because it's happened before. Now, again, I'll go back to, there's a different Vandy team than this one. But, you know, if you're going to use anything, use your own history. And so they said they are going to bring that up to the players before the game.
Adam Sparks joining us again. Turn our attention to the women's side of things. Your thoughts on right now, as we're wrapping up the month of January, getting ready to head into February as far as women's basketball and, of course, Stephanie White and her program?
No, just still nothing happening. I mean, from a PR standpoint, I guess for Vanderbilt women, you're a little bit drowned out. Their lack of success is drowned out a little bit by the fact that the biggest story in the state right now, women's basketball, is actually in Knoxville. That team has taken a nosedive, the Lady Vols, and then on your own campus, you've got the men's basketball team that was supposed to be really good, and they lose Darius Garland, and now they've taken a nosedive. So what Vandy women had dealt with last year of, you know, everybody else is pretty good. What's wrong with Vanderbilt basketball, Vanderbilt women's basketball? Now the narrative is, oh, yeah, also, what's wrong with Vanderbilt women's basketball? But these other things are foremost. Injuries have eaten them up. There's still a good league on the women's side. It's still got real good depth in that conference. But it's, you know, I'll borrow a line from Bryce Drew today, speaking on the men's team. He said, you know, when you're winning, there's not as much big leaps of improvement. When you're losing, you actually can see improvement, but it doesn't necessarily show in the win-loss column. I think that's where Vandy's women are right now, but I do think they're seeing incremental improvements. They were just so bad last year and so bad early in the season. I don't know that they really have time to get things fixed before the end of the season, and then you're going to have to do a reboot next year.
Well, it then brings up the other part, because the incoming new athletics director for Vanderbilt, Malcolm Turner, who takes over in February, you know, he's the G League president. So with the basketball background, you wonder what he will be thinking when he takes over this program and then he has to evaluate the men's and women's team.
Yeah, and I'll have a sit-down with Malcolm once he gets here. And ask him a little bit about that. I tend to think he's going to sit and wait and watch for a little while, especially since he hasn't been a college administrator before. It's hard to say if for both coaches, for Bryce Drew, who's going to end up with a second straight disappointing season, and Stephanie that hasn't had a good season yet since she's been here, and obviously the last 2 years have been really bad. You don't know if is it a positive for them that the AD is a basketball guy, or is it a negative that he's a basketball guy? You know, I mean, he's coming from the NBA front office. Well, you know, Bryce Drew played in the NBA. Bryce Drew knows a lot of NBA people. You know, there's connections on this team. Darius Garland's dad played in the NBA. Scottie Pippen Jr., obviously his dad, Scottie Pippen, played in the NBA. And so I would think there would be kind of be a good connection with the new AD. Stephanie was a WNBA player and a WNBA coach, coached in the WNBA finals. I'd be pretty certain that her and Malcolm Turner has probably crossed paths before. So I would think that would be a good thing for them, that they'll have that connection to their new AD. But, yeah, your win-loss record speaks for itself. And so he'll take a hard look at both those coaches. I don't think anything will happen immediately with them, but it'll be something that will be put on his plate pretty early.
Well, and I go back, though, it's not necessarily, you know, when you lose a Darius Garland, I get that, and, you know, it can impact the wins and losses, but it's the other things that concern me. And if I'm Malcolm Turner, I'm going to be wanting answers to questions like, you're talking about trying to find leadership in the month of January. What's that? What are you thinking there, Coach Drew? I would have concerns about simple kind of questions like that. And wanting really serious answers, you know, for those kind of questions too.
Yeah, and I think both coaches really are facing the challenge that a lot of veteran coaches know how to do, which is how to adapt in the season. You know, both of them have suffered injuries to good players. Both of them have gotten into conference play and looked worse. Now, some of that has to do with competition, but you know, the good coaches and usually the veteran coaches know that they've got to incrementally get better, they've got to adapt, and bad things are going to happen to just about every team in every season.
Right.
And you've got to be able to kind of jump over that and keep moving. And both coaches have struggled to get their teams to do that.
Let's turn our attention. We're less than a month away from the start of the baseball season. Tim Corbin and his group, the Vandy Boys, preseason number one. And look, you know, it's certainly a program that I'm sure Tim Corbin was one of these individuals that it is what it is. They embrace it. And you look at all the outstanding competition in the SEC, and it kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, and I'm going to look over these next few days before practice starts on Friday to see how they measure up with a lot of the other teams. They're picked number one in a couple of the different polls. And, you know, I haven't gotten up to speed on who the second, third, fourth best teams, what they have coming back in college baseball. We'll get to that. But, you know, why are they ranked number one? Well, they get back, 80% of their lineup, 80-90% of their pitching staff, most of their bullpen, all their weekend starters, some of their midweek starters. They get back so many catchers that they've got to take their catcher who's their top home run hitter and move him to another position. They get back everybody but their shortstop, Connor Kizer, which is a big loss, but every team in the country loses a guy to that caliber. That's virtually all that Vandy lost. And then they bring in the number two recruiting class in the country. And, you know, Tim Corbin's going to have what he has every year, which is just an absolute ridiculous amount of talent. He's going to have to figure out how to balance it. It's a good problem to have.
Before we let you go, Adam, remind everybody again how they can keep up with all your coverage of the Commodores.